So maybe it's because I've lived in Chelan for so long and there's always people coming to visit. You guys are having this in the summer, aren't you? Right? Yeah. All right. And, but you, so you have to think about how our visitors have acted when they're here. And, you know, for the most part, our guests act pretty well. They help with the dishes and they do stuff and they clean, make up their own bed and all that, right? Yeah, they do. Most of the time. Most of the time. So, but this is how this must be the lens by which I'm reading this text, but I'm thinking, holy mackerel, I'm not sure I want to invite Jesus to my house to a dinner. Look how he acts. The first thing he does, he gets there, he looks around, and he starts insulting the guests. Sheesh, you guys are doing it all wrong. Don't go up there, come back here. And then, if that's not enough, he then invites the host. I mean, he invites the host. He insults the host. He says, you know, where are the poor, the lame, the blind? Why are you inviting your friends who are going to repay you? Oh, sheesh. This is... So that's how I've always read this. And I was thought, wow, this is really amazing. And I think there is some of that. But I also think that what if it's not quite... Jesus as the critiquer, and more of just the fact that Jesus, God love him, he just cannot not see the kingdom of God. It's like, and he cannot see how often we miss it. And so maybe it's not a question of critiquing or insulting. Maybe we can look at it with a different sort of spirit, like, hey, you guys, listen, you know, you're in this honor-shame culture where, you know, you're kind of going to go up to the front because you think that's the place where life is, where honor is, where glory is. And the opposite of that is shame, which is a lot like death. Anybody ever felt shame before? It's a lot like death. So I understand that you're trying to not have shame and you're trying to get up to the place of honor. But listen, that's not how it works. Not really. That's not God's intent. And it's really true, because the only time you get to have honor is when somebody else has shame. They're together and they're connected. And Jesus is like, no, the world is not for shame. It's not to shame anybody. And yet our system continues to do that. In the old world, in Jesus' time, honor and shame was those are the commodities. And if you don't get up into honor, you're going to get shame. And who wants that? You may think we are too sophisticated for that now, but I think we know that we're not. We still want to have, we want to know how we can accumulate honor by wealth. We can accumulate honor by prestige. We can accumulate honor by our deeds and how we get things done. We want honor. And Jesus seems to be saying to us, no, listen. You don't really need that. And in fact, if you really want to see the kingdom of God, come with me. Because what Jesus does is he actually takes the place of shame, right? Not just at the banquet where he sits at the lowest place, where he gives some nice advice. No, not just there, but actually in his life and on the cross, he takes the place of shame. He says, y'all want to play this game of honor and shame? Okay, fine. I'll take the place of shame. And he does. In order not to shame other people, but in order to break that whole cycle of honor and shame, just to get it done, to show everybody where it is, and then to say, now look, I'm over here. God incarnate takes the place of shame, the place that we want to avoid the most, and then invites us to be there too. Mm. Now, isn't that something? So, I know, and the reason I'm talking to you about this today is because I have struggled with it myself all week, for 2 weeks. I've had lots of great visits with people and a lot of really great conversations with people, and in fact, I've had some conversations with some pretty important people, I must say. we're trying to get this piece of the last into seminaries and stuff, and so I've been talking to seminary monkey mucks, you know? Is that what the word? Monkey mucks. High ups, right? And it's been pretty cool. It's been kind of heady in a way. It's like, these guys really want what they, you know, we've offered a piece of the last, we showed it to them, and they're like, wow, this is really great. This is really good. Your little congregation did this? Feels pretty good, I gotta tell you. And it is good. We did this wonderful thing. And we're trying to get it out more. And so anyway, I've had these conversations with these people who are pretty darn important, right? And so that's great. And I'm feeling pretty good about it. And then I start having these other visitations that are not quite in that same vein, right? And what I've realized is, you know, those conversations with those people are really good. Man, you haven't really lived until you've gone to visit Cindy at Rosewood. She's having trouble with her memory, and she's in this memory care facility now. She's just been there for a couple of weeks. We're inviting everybody to go visit her. She's right up the street now, and going over there. And you walk into that place, and it's like, oh, I was confused. I was confused. It's not those really high up people where there's life. It's here in this place. This is where Jesus hangs out. I can feel it, and I can see it in her eyes, and I can see it in the eyes of all the people who are there. Oh, this is Jesus disguised. That's where life is. Or again, guy comes to my office and he's, and I know him, he's homeless, he's here in town, he's got nothing going. He has had a very difficult time here. He's only been here for about 6 weeks, but he has got nothing. And nothing's catching on. And so he came in and I told him, I'm in a meeting, I can't talk right now, but I'll talk later. So at about an hour later, I go outside, out the door, and there he is sitting on the lawn. And it's Danilo is his name. And he doesn't speak any English. He speaks only Spanish. I'm working on my Spanish, and he's going a mile a minute. And it's story after story after story of heartbreak. Going to a place to find work, there's no work. Go to a place, work for a few days, work for a week, don't get paid. Go somewhere else. My friend said they had a place for me. There's no place. So he has made a great art of not being seen in our community. Because he knows if he gets seen, he's probably going to be in trouble. And he's telling me all about that. All the places he goes so that he can't be seen. So they went, and when the security people come by, he knows what time they come by now, so he gets out of the place, certain places at certain times. This poor guy, he's just totally devastated. And I've known this. I see him on the grass, but I'm heading home to dinner, right? And I know if I sit down with him, right? But I sit down with him. And he just starts talking and talking and talking. And it's great. He's got this pattern of talk where he asks the question, he'll say, I went there to work, but it didn't work out. Why did it not work out? Because, da-da-da-da-da. And it's great because I'm like, at first I thought, oh, I have to answer that question. But no, I waited along, he answered it himself. But it was on and on and on. It was like 45 minutes of this. And at the end of it, listen to this, at the end of it, he says, I don't want to ask you for anything. You already gave me what I needed. You sat here and listened to me. Oh. You will be blessed at the resurrection of the righteous. That to me is the resurrection of the righteous. That's the resurrection right there. I thought it was going to be like, oh, geez, you know, hard and difficult. And sometimes when we are invited to those places, it is hard and difficult and uncomfortable. But Jesus keeps whispering in our ear, hey, this is really where you want to go. This is where you want to be. The other stuff is really great too. I love all of the people that you hang out with. But if you really want to get some, you really need something, this is where you need to go. Come on, come with me. Or invite them. The poor, the lame, the blind. That's where you'll really find me. And after all, that's what you really want. You don't really need or want all of that honor stuff. You don't need that. I've already done away with shame. So don't worry about that. Come with me. And, okay, you've convinced me. And you step in, and isn't this, I'm not the only one that feels this way, right? You step in, and then bang, there it is. There's Jesus. And you find yourself sitting across the table, sitting in the grass with Jesus. That's the invitation of this thing. And it isn't like, you guys have really got it. You know, he's not saying to me, Paul, you've really got it wrong. You are so screwed up. I just have to drag you over here. No, it's more like he's saying, he's like, the image that I read the other day was, it's like we're sitting in a place, we think it's this really great palace. It's really a jail. And Jesus is on the other side just going, no, 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 just come on, open the door and get out of there. Come on, come with me. I really like you. I want to hang out with you. Come on. It's like that. So it's not this, like, all this insulting stuff. It's just this beckoning, this, like, come on, enticement. Come on, come with me. The greatest interpreter of the text, this text of inviting the lame, the poor, and the blind, is dear St. Lawrence, whose day was just August 10th. You all know the story of St. Lawrence. He's a deacon in the church in Rome in second or third century, maybe. I always get that confused. But anyway, second or third century, early church. And the rumor has it that the church has all these great treasures because for one, St. Lawrence himself had gone and sold a gold chalice that was used for the Eucharist and sold that, took the money and gave it to the poor. And word got out. And several people, the Roman, not the emperor, but one of the Roman officials heard about it and went and said to the Pope, we need the treasures of the church. We want you to hand them over. And he says, doesn't it in your own scripture say, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar and to God the things that are God? Sneaky, huh? He even says, God didn't bring money to the earth. He brought words. So you take the words, give us the money. And when a Pope doesn't do it, they behead him. And when another Pope doesn't, or the next person up, they behead him. They get to St. Lawrence. He's the deacon. And he says, you know, I'm going to need a few days to gather the treasures of the church. So they said, okay, we'll give you 3 days. 3 days it is. Okay. So they come back in 3 days. St. Lawrence wasn't a saint then. So Lawrence gathers all of these people, the lame, the blind, the poor, widows, orphans, all the people who have no honor in this world. Gathers them up. So the Roman official comes and he says, are you ready, Lawrence, to hand over the treasures of the church? And St. Lawrence says, I am. And he says, okay, hand them over. And he turns and he says, these are the treasures of the church. Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that so true of this text? When you have a banquet, invite the poor, the lame, the blind, the crippled. Those are the treasures of the church. And finally, what is the treasure of the church? Is it not Jesus Christ?
St. Lawrence was actually inviting that Roman official to come and meet Jesus. And very interestingly, when St. Lawrence gets put to death with a slow grill, he gets put on a grill over fire. Thanks be to God that God gives him the gift of not feeling the pain. What does St. Lawrence pray for? He prays that everyone in Rome would meet Jesus, would be converted to Jesus. That's his prayer as he's being put to death. Brilliant. Beautiful. This is our stuff. This is our these are our stories. And this is Jesus' invitation in this text. So, come on. But you know, you don't have to fight for honor. You don't have to get up there to the best table. Go sit with the kids. Right? That's the kind of modern analogy, isn't it? Right? You know, there's the great table, and then there's the kids' table. Go sit at the kids' table. You're going to see Jesus there. Go hang out in places where you would kind of, what you're a little bit nervous about going into. That's where you're going to find Jesus. And oh my goodness, Jesus is waiting for us. Jesus is there. He's like, come on. Come hang out with me. Come hang out with me. And then, even if we don't, sometimes it's like Jesus will say, all right, you win. I'll come to you. I'll come to you. I'll just sit on the grass. I'll be waiting outside. When you pass by, I'll be there. I'll be in one of these memory care facility places. Don't worry. I'll be there. There's one guy. He tells this parable. There's one guy in the story, and we don't get to read it in our lectionary, but there's somebody at that party, and he goes, he hears all of this stuff, and he takes it not at all as an insult. You know what he says? He says, blessed is the one who breaks bread in the kingdom of God. Blessed is the one who breaks bread in the kingdom of God. Well, guess what? That's you. Because we are breaking bread today at this Eucharistic meal. We are breaking bread in the kingdom of God. And blessed are you. For even if we don't see Jesus on the grass, if we don't see him in other places, this is where Jesus says, okay, I'll meet you here. I'll be with you. You can take me in and become like me. And we will live together. No honor, no shame. Just us. In love. That's an invitation.